Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, to find common ground and take it to the next level with David Clark here on Blog Talk Radio. Each week, the show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. We will have an exciting array of diverse guests who will point up the fact that we are all spiritual beings having a human experience. Now your host, David Clark.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, where indeed we'll be finding common ground and taking it to the max level. I'm your host, David Clark. I'm a spiritual adventurer, and I suggest you become the same. When you keep an open mind, not only will you open the door to new understandings, but you'll come to see that despite our seeming differences, we're all basically the same. And so today it's my pleasure to welcome back Caroline Nettle. She is an absolutely amazing soul healer, recovering person. She had a 15-year career in international sales and marketing, and then her life took a whole new direction when she embarked on a period of intensive self-exploration. This included recovery from a variety of addictions and working in a treatment center for recovering addicts. As a healer, teacher, and writer, Caroline's discoveries bring together all these disciplines and combine them with her passion for helping others overcome life's obstacles and move forward. She is a natural empath and a medical intuitive. She empowers her clients and provides them with the tools to make real positive change in their lives and the lives of those around them. Today, Caroline talks about birthing the new you and overcoming the resistance from within. She will also do one angel reading for a lucky caller, and that caller is yet to be announced. It'll be a surprise for us all. So, Caroline, welcome today.
Thank you so much, and thank you for having me.
Well, it's my pleasure. How are you feeling today?
A little bit better than I was on Friday when we originally had our call scheduled.
Well, praise God.
So I may, I may sound a little bit husky still, but I'm definitely all here, complimentous.
Oh, good. Well, I'm awfully glad that you're here, that you're better. And, I'm really looking forward to the show. I think the topics you selected are brilliant. And let's get right into them. You talked about birthing the new you. I'd be very interested. I've got a lot of ideas on that subject myself, also being a recovering person. But I'd like to hear what you have to say and how it can apply to everybody, irregardless of whether they're recovering from addictions or just seeking to find a new life for themselves.
Yeah, I don't know where to start. It's such an interesting subject, especially when we've just had a new moon a couple of days ago in Aries, which is all about really transforming the stuff that we don't need to carry anymore and bringing in the new. But, you know, no one who's listening or who's alive on the planet today can but look at what's going on without thinking, post this virus, if we just take this, post this virus, it is not going to look the same. The scenario will be hugely different. Mm. And I think there's a real undercurrent in almost everybody that I'm speaking to of, oh, I wonder what it's going to be like, or I'm terrified, what's it going to look like? I like what I know. And you know, for those of us that are like me and are looking forward thinking, oh, this really could be a change and could be different and could really embrace the feminine, which I'm hoping that we're moving towards, those qualities of inclusion, compassion, you know, love, I don't know, creativity, all the things that have been deeply oppressed by the patriarchal society for thousands of years. I feel like we are definitely seeing a change from that masculine, powerful, me more now kind of thing towards the feminine. And I've been saying that for probably 35, 40 years. And it's been something that I've been really working towards for my life. But
bravo.
Like, thank you. And as soon as this virus hit, and it really is probably, we don't know anything. We've never experienced anything like this in our lifetimes. You know, and to me, it's really shocking, if you like, that a virus can shut down airlines and make the stock market collapse, and, you know, food supplies have been under threat. So, you know, the crux of our society is looking at a different way of being. And I'm truly hoping that post-virus, because of course we will get through, this too will pass.
Right.
And, you know, there's dolphins in the canals in Venice, there's no pollution over China, there's, you know, lots of amazing things have happened because mankind has been sent to his room. I saw this amazing thing, it was on Facebook, and it said, God is so disturbed by the way that we've been treating the planet that he sent us to our rooms to consider our behavior. So I'm in England, we're in lockdown, I can't leave my house, basically. I'm not allowed to more than once a day for a walk, which to me is martial law, and it's very, that's a whole other subject, but
wow.
You know, yeah, it really does concentrate the mind. And do I really need all those new clothes? Not that I buy new clothes, but, you know, do I really need to buy food that comes from China or Peru or South America or Australia? Why don't I buy things that are local? So yes, this virus is terrifying, and it really is, you know, horrible that so many people are dying, and I wouldn't, you know, that's not a good thing. But possibly out of this can come a different way of looking at how we live our lives. I don't know how you think any of that resonates or not.
So you believe there is a silver lining in this dark cloud, as I do.
Yeah.
And don't you think?
There always is.
Of course there is. And yet so many of us dwell on the negative that we can't see that. I mean, let's face it. Some of the greatest things that happen in our lives come out of so-called failures. And those are opportunities. They're not dead ends. They're opportunities to change and to grow. And it's my feeling, and I trust you will probably agree with this, this is an opportunity for this world to become united and to stop judging people and nations who are different than ourselves.
It is an opportunity, yes. Do I think that will happen? Not overnight. And
right.
As an animal, which we're all animals, we can't help that. We are descended from animals. I mean, we are an animal. That sounds really strange to say, but that's all right. But we are programmed completely to judge the person in front of us. Does he or she look frightening? Does he or she look the same as me? If it's the same as me, I'm comfortable, automatically. And we do all of that completely subconsciously, by the way. Even if the person in front of me is a mass murderer, and if they look like me and they feel the same as me, I'll probably accept them a lot more easily than I would someone of a different color. And that makes no sense to me whatsoever, because if you look at children, I love the way children have no prejudice, unless, of course, their parents have taught them prejudice. But I love the idea of us not judging, but for that to happen, we'd have to get rid of all the media, most of the TV, the way we think, the way we put people on billboards, you know, a bikini-clad woman to sell a car.
Right.
You know, and the subliminal message there is, if you buy this car, you're going to get women that look like that. And, I mean, truly, that's just ludicrous, but it really works.
Well, it's a dream of mine, but I see it as a golden opportunity. Whether or not it will come to manifest, I don't No, because history has shown that man likes to judge, quote-unquote man, men
we
and
do,
women. But, you know,
yeah.
Let's move beyond the virus for a moment and talk about what it is like to embrace all of ourselves, to become true to ourselves, and birth that reality.
So I was thinking about this a little bit before I came on air, and I was thinking of how and when I got sober. And I just want to talk a little bit about that, really, because in my mind, alcoholics, and that was the most obvious of my addictions, had grubby Macs on, Macintosh coats, tied with string. They sat on park benches, and they drank cheap cider out of brown paper bags. And because I had that opinion, I can't tell you where I got that from, but that was the opinion that stopped me from seeing that I was an alcoholic. I genuinely fought hook, nail, and sinker because I didn't see myself as one of those people that I had in my mind was an alcoholic. It didn't take that long for me to work out that it really hurt and physically made me very, very ill when I didn't have a drink for a certain amount of time. And that's when I started thinking, oh, maybe I was wrong. But it's that maybe I was wrong thing that I really want to talk about, because I think in order to really change, you have to really accept. And the human brain is so fantastic at telling us lies, and it lies to us, as you know, all the time. But, you know, if I go to church, and that makes me think that I'm a really nice person, but I'm really rotten to animals and small children, and I don't speak nicely to anyone, and I don't show any care for anyone, then I've convinced myself I'm a really, really nice person, but actually my behavior is not very kind. And I think that was something, I'm not trying to say that all people that go to church are nasty to small animals. That's not what I'm saying, but it's just a very obvious example of where we persuade ourselves that we're, you know, super shiny and, you know, and able to cope with everything. And then sometimes we really have to have it shown to us in a way that we really can't deny anymore. For example, me going to a treatment center and being told you're an alcoholic and really refusing it. But as soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, of course I am. Oh, my gosh, how did I not see that for 40 years? I mean, talk about being in denial and extremist. But as soon as I'd acknowledged that there was a problem, then I could change. That's when I did change. And that's what I'm trying to say. So when we have built up masks and roles that we play and all these different things that we think will protect us or keep us safe or make us feel comfortable, sometimes it's not until something like this virus, which is a really big disruptor, it's not until everything is totally disrupted, that we can actually start saying what's really true here. And I believe that's when humans and probably animals too can bring about change, because they are able to reassess their own behavior. Would you agree with that?
Well, yes. And as you were talking, I was thinking about a couple of metaphors or analogies, if you will. And, you know, it's not till we have our back against the wall or hit a bottom of some sort or other that we start to wake up. And I've heard it said that the elevator can go all the way down to the bottom, and you have the choice to get off at any step of the way. So if you have denial and you are lucky to catch it in the beginning before it becomes a full-fledged physical disease or dis-ease within yourself, as I like to say, you can get off the elevator before your life becomes a shambles. But that's not to say that if your life becomes a shambles, you can't resurrect yourself. What do you think?
Completely. And very interestingly, whilst you were talking about that, I was thinking, gosh, I wonder if there's anybody listening to this who doesn't know they're an addict because they haven't got the really visible addiction. So let's talk about that. So drugs and alcohol, you pretty much can look behind you and go, gosh, I made a real mess there and I left a lot of people really hurt. But if you're addicted to power, money, sex, image management, I knew someone who was addicted to losing at gambling. So there's something like 374 different types of addictions that they've identified. And, you know, I think most human beings are running at least two or three. You know,
oh, yeah.
My sister has to have a coffee at 10 o'clock in the morning. Bless her.
Yeah.
She has one coffee at 10 o'clock in the morning. She has to have it. To me, that's running an addiction. She gets really moody if she doesn't have it. Does that sound familiar? You know, but... you know, if you play too much Candy Crush and you can't put it down, I mean, things like that, it's really insidious in our society. And all an addiction is to me is a way of covering up the pain that you're feeling inside. And it's an outlet to find a way to relieve that pain, which probably doesn't do you any good, but it feels good whilst you're in the high or the drunk or whatever it is. So I think the question you asked was, why do we resist change? And I think often it's because we don't see ourselves the way we don't want to see ourselves.
Mm.
So we protect ourselves from the truth because it's easier than looking within and
The truth can hurt. It hurts to peel away the layers of the onion, doesn't it?
Yeah, no, and it's, you know, people say to, I was 13 years sober just really recently, and it's like the first probably 7 years I was in full-on therapy. I mean, you know, really, because this is who I am. It's like there isn't a second recovery in me. I can't relapse because I know it will kill me. So I went hell-bent for leather, literally. This is the biggest investment I'm ever going to make. And I literally went to therapy until I got bored of it, which, you know, and it was really helpful. And it pointed out so much about my past that I had no clue about. And, yeah, it's been a tough journey. But I'm so, so happy that I decided that it was worth it because,
yeah.
You know, the things that everybody's addicted to mean nothing to me, really nothing. And that's not probably true, actually, but I'd say 90% of that is true. And
it takes work,
you know,
doesn't it? And commitment.
Sorry.
Commitment.
Oh, and it's all really fun, not. But you start to laugh eventually, don't you? I did
yes,
this for about 4 years. I was really boring.
It can lead to great fun and great joy and serenity.
Yes. Yes.
You know, we say in 12-step programs the serenity prayer, and the first part of it goes, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And I want to say one thing. You know, we've been talking about addictions, but we have attachments to so many things in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I once heard a marvelous Jesuit author and spiritual leader named Anthony DeMello, who kind of turned the Catholic Church on its end. And he said, to be human is to be addicted. We can attach ourselves to anything that our egos cling to escape the inner truth, can't we?
Yes, yeah. Completely and utterly.
Yeah.
But we were talking about and the resistance we have to change.
Yes.
Kind of bringing it back to the virus, because I think this is really helping me see what's going to happen in the future a little bit better, if you like, because for years I've been going, why can't people wake up and see we're ruining the planet and there isn't a planet B, and why do people carry on as if it's just going to be the same? And suddenly we're in a very different situation where control is totally out of my hands. I have none.
Yep.
And because of the work I've done on myself, I'm like, oh, okay, let's see how this comes out then. Let's see what's going to come. And I'm seeing post after post on Facebook of like, oh my gosh, I'm terrified, I'm really scared, what's going to... And I'm like, that's interesting. I would probably have been posting that had I not done all the work on myself and had I not learned that we can't really control anything even if we wanted to. So I think a lot of the fear that's going around at the moment is because it's changing so much and people like what they know and they like the comfort of where they've been. But there is nothing but change in front of us because the planet's warming up and because, you know, maybe we've identified a food chain problem and maybe people won't get on flights quite so readily because they can see that it's really helping pollution. You know, there is change in the air. And I think one of the best things that we can do to keep ourselves really, really healthy in this is to stay out of the fear. And by that, I mean, don't watch the news, listen to the radio.
Well, that is something
about horror.
Go ahead.
You know, all of that, because I think fear is something that keeps us really, really poorly. I don't know if you agree with that, but...
Well, I was just going to say, you know, when you were talking about lack of control, which certainly is true. However, I would counter that, and excuse me, I think you'll agree with this when I reframe it. We do have control over our actions. We have control over whether or not we choose to remain safe or put ourselves at risk, and that empowers us, and we can let go of our fear if we choose to do it, because every step of the way in life, we have a choice for better or for worse. What do you think?
I will humbly disagree with you and say...
Oh, okay.
Tiger in front of me, I'm not sure I would be in control of my reaction.
Oh, well, that's a different story.
If I'm coming from a place of trauma,
yeah.
If I've got a traumatized brain, I can't. If you trigger me by saying the word, let's say you say star, and that's one of my triggers, whatever, yeah, that I have no control over.
Gotcha.
You learn to have a little bit more control over it. So I'm just wondering, because everyone's reaction to this, I mean, it's a global pandemic. What a dramatic label for it. But anyway, it's a global pandemic, and we've not had one of these in our lifetimes.
No.
So I think we're allowed to react in a way that we can't control initially.
Yeah.
But then we see, okay, well, I'm still alive today, and I'm keeping myself safe. And you're right, I'm empowering myself by keeping myself away from viruses. But here's what I'm going to say to you, David, and I wholeheartedly believe this. If there's a big hoo-ha going over here with drums and whistles and fireworks, look behind you and see what's actually going on. That would be my take on this whole thing.
Well, I humbly concede to you, because fear is part is a human emotion, and it comes from the ego, I believe. And the ego actually originally served to help us survive. You know, when the tiger came along or whatever, it was fear that propelled us to take actions to safeguard ourselves. And so fear and ego can be a positive thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So thank you for pointing that out.
You're very welcome. I think these are very uncertain times. I think this is all new. I mean, one of the things I discovered about myself when I did all this soul searching is I love change. And that sounds really weird, because most humans don't. But I function really well when I don't know what it's going to be and I don't know what to expect. And I can therefore put my flag in the ground wherever I want, or I can not put my flag in the ground at all if I don't want to. And I know that's quite rare, but I find it so much easier to live my life without that control, because I suppose I come from a really regimented family where everything was decided for me. I had to breathe this way, I had to stand this way, I had to dress this way.
Yep.
And I'm a wild horse, you know. I don't paint inside the lines. It's not my personality. My poor mother was really trying to, you know, produce a lawyer, and I'm just nothing like that, you know. So I can laugh about it now. I did a lot of therapy on that.
Yeah, well, it helps to laugh.
it must have been so hard for her dealing with this wild, unruly child who liked throwing color at the walls and things like that. But anyway, it's who I am, and I know that I chose my parents, so they've all...
Caroline? Okay, folks, I think we lost Caroline. Let me call her back. In the meantime, I'm going to play one of my favorite songs by New Thought singer Jennifer Ferrin, and it's called Throw It All Away. So hang in there while I get her back. Okay, that was a portion of Throw It All Away by Jennifer Ferrin, and you can Google her on the internet. She's with Unity Church. She's a music director, and that's a wonderful non-formal religion that professes to deal with practical Christianity, but they embrace all religious traditions as having an element of truth. But let's get back to what we were talking about. Caroline Nettle is back on the line. We have a lot of callers, and one of you lucky callers will get to get an angel reading from her in the end, and I'll give as many of you as possible an opportunity to comment or question Caroline. Caroline, you want to take it back to where we left off?
Yeah, I think, sorry about that. I think I was just talking about how my parents were trying to change me into something that I wasn't. And, you know, here in my 50s, I'm like, I'm so happy that I've had the opportunity to unravel all that they taught me and all my conditioning and find out who I am, because who I am, like I was saying, I think I was saying, I love change. I love travel. I love new things. I love new people. I get really inspired by new projects. I don't necessarily like to finish them all the way to the end because that's not my personality, but I'm great at setting them up and starting them. And yeah, so it was just that I feel so blessed to have had that time or given myself that kind of 10-year period where I didn't engage in normal society and I just went on into my own recovery. And yeah, I popped out the other end happy with myself, confident, and you know, my mission on this planet now is to help others, to give them messages, to heal them and help other people. And yeah, I'm just really loving that aspect of my life, which I had no idea that's what I was going to do. It's incredible.
That's marvelous. Now, let's get back. We don't have too much more time for discussion because I want to allow time for the callers. But let's get back to the bottom line for overcoming the resistance from within. What do you think the answer or answers are to that?
I would say in one very short sentence, find out who you are.
Mm-hmm.
I think when you come from a place of knowing who you are, like you have no resistance because you want to follow that path. You have a deep knowing that that's what you're supposed to do or that's where you're supposed to go or, yeah, find out who you are.
Well, you're a healer. And healing is the story of what we ultimately, hopefully, will achieve in our lives or as much healing as we can.
Yeah.
And how do we heal ourselves?
I'm going to be really glib and say find out who you are. I think it's all part of the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think
mm-hmm.
in ironing out the wrinkles or finding out the bits of you that you really are ashamed of or have hatred for or, you know, and really coming to terms with them and being okay with them, you know, a new you can emerge that hasn't had a voice before and that hasn't been able to live before or express itself. And then through you can come the real truth of who you are. So then books can come and plays can come and creativity can come. And when I'm in the company of people who've done this work, there's a lot of laughter.
Mm.
There's a lot of profound truth, but man, they laugh because life's really silly. And, you know, I always say in 10 years' time, if you look back with that sewing machine with, you know, gold plating and a fabulous new whatever, be really, really important to you? And I think the answer is usually no. What's really important to you is who do you love? How well have you acted?
Uh-huh.
You know, how have you treated yourself?
Well,
yeah.
I
think that's my answer.
What about self-love?
Yeah, that old.
Mm-hmm.
That
yeah.
old trinket. Yeah. It's I'm a work in progress.
Yes.
In answer to that, and it literally is work at it all the time.
Don't you think it's important to let go of judgment of those things that you talked about that we may hate within ourselves, that we need to let go of that and embrace it and recognize that we can change and that we can go to the polar opposites of things like arrogance or greed or whatever, we can become humble. We have the capacity to become giving. What do you think about that?
I think that a really good way of establishing if you are even on the path is who do you judge?
Mm.
So if I said to you, David, I'm making something up now. David, I think you're really arrogant. Let's just
say,
let's just say I don't mean that at all. I don't mean that
I
at all.
I know you
but
don't.
What I'm doing is projecting onto you what I think of myself.
Yeah.
But I can't deal with it in me, so I project it onto you.
Yeah.
So that was a really big healing for me.
Oh, yeah.
What am I judging people for? Oh, being petty, being stupid. I've had to learn. You have to really learn a lot about yourself and do some self-acceptance. But, yeah, judgment is a very good way of learning what you don't like about yourself.
I've heard it said that when you point a finger at somebody, there are three fingers pointing back at you.
Yeah.
Well, anyhow, this has been a wonderful discussion. We could go on forever, I'm sure, or at least for the rest of the day. But you're in England. It's going on 9 o'clock your time, 4:30 in the Eastern time zone. We have a lot of callers. I'm going to ask the callers to please be mindful of the time when you talk to Caroline and just talk for a moment or two, no more than that, with any questions or comments. And then the angel reading will be coming up. So let's go to the first caller, and that is Deanna.
Oh.
Deanna, you're live.
Hi.
Hi,
David.
Hey, Deanna. How are you doing?
I'm very happy that I tuned in because I heard things that I wasn't aware of, and I got to meet you.
Thank you very much. Hello. Is there a particular question?
Well, no, I'm always playing with words. And I was thinking of your last name as stinging nettles, but they're good. They have a lot of good properties.
Hey.
They sure do.
Hey, you got a great point there.
I was just looking them up, you know, and how it is said in Spanish as well and everything. And, you know, it was enlightening. I liked what you said, and I can't pinpoint it right now, but I paid attention to what you said, and I liked it. I also got to realize who Jennifer Farron is, because I love that. I don't know if you got to hear David's song, Throw It All Away. It's one of my favorites, and I could never find her before, and I just did. And it is, the words, the lyrics are so interesting. I hope you do get to listen to it via David.
Well, I'm sure she has
Thank
that opportunity.
You. I think you definitely were supposed to hear it. And when the student is ready, the teacher appears. So thank you for calling in. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Deanna. And I've got a question for you, Caroline,
yes.
In regard to what you just said. The question is, who's the student and who's the teacher?
We're all students and we're all teachers.
Right. Okay, just to clarify on that, because a lot of people don't realize the power they have within themselves and that we all do teach each other.
No.
We can all learn from each other. Okay, Deanna, thank you for calling. And I don't know everybody that's phoned in, so I'm going to call on some of you by area code. I'm first going to go to the phone numbers I recognize. And here is Al. And Al, you're live.
Hello, Caroline.
Hello. Hi, Al. How are you doing?
Good. Well, there were so many things that were said, and I heard David's message about trying to be brief, so I'm only going to respond to a few. But you were talking about laughter and life is silly and how important that is. And that I feel that way about laughter and life being silly, too. And one of the things I like about laughter is that it keeps a lightness about our problems. And sometimes if we approach our problems in too heavy a way, it makes us too fearful to look at them. And I feel like if they feel too heavy, laughter is a great way to start to approach them and to look at them. They make them manageable for us.
Absolutely.
And I also liked what you said about you know, not really seeing yourself until you went into the 12-step program. And my personal experience has been that when I'm at home and in my own head, it's harder to approach your problems and see yourself than when you're connected with others. So being connected with others has always been a wonderful way for me. And I've been a 12-stepper too. To recognize things about myself, even if the people aren't saying them to you, maybe they're not naming them for you, but, you know, having a good listener, somebody who knows how to coach you along and coax you and help you talk about this and help you come to a place where you can see those things for yourself, about yourself, is very helpful. Mm-hmm. I don't think things can be done alone and in solitude. So I appreciated what you said about that. And I won't say any more because I know we're limited on time.
Thank you for calling. And I just want to say my personal opinion is everybody should be in the 12 steps all the time. There we are.
Oh, yes.
I completely agree with you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Al, thank you. It's great to hear your voice and to have you with us today. And Deanna just made a comment via Facebook that I think is very true, and that is we are all mirrors. And the comment I wanted to make to Al about thinking is that I believe it's important to think with our hearts. Yeah, we need our brains. We do need that aspect of us that discerns. But when we become heart-centered, then we find our way to freedom. What do you think, Caroline?
I think I'm going to say that in body talk, we say that you discern with your small intestine, which is very interesting. I think we have to steer very clear of the rational mind because it's programmed to make us feel safe. And by doing that, it's saying, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. You remember last time when you did that? It really hurt. And so I'm not sure it's a great discerner because it's programmed to stop you feeling frightened, which it does really, really well. But it also tells you, you know, mine used to say to me all the time, everybody hates you. They won't want to listen to you. You're so uninteresting all the time. And here I am. I can talk for England, as we say.
All right. Well, bravo for England. That's where my family comes from, at least 7/8 of it. I hear a lot of people knocking England, and yeah, they did some nasty things, but then we all have, and we're all capable of doing that. Let's go to Regina. She's next, and then I'm going to go to area codes. Regina,
hello.
You're live.
Hello. Can you hear me okay? Hi, Caroline.
Yes, we can.
How are you?
How can I help you?
Well,
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm very well. I'm looking forward to talking some more. I want to know, let you know, I healed an addiction the other day. I've been addicted for over 50 years to here in America are called a soap opera. And I've watched it.
Oh, yeah, no, we call them the same. We call them the same.
I've watched it, and you know what? It's just like scotch for me now. I don't want to go near it. It's poison. And I said, we're forming
yeah,
a new world. Why would I want to watch all that misery? I don't want that in my life.
Absolutely. Well done. It's narcotic.
I'm so happy.
Like we watch films and they give us the same effect as narcotics. So they've done a really good job at keeping us addicted, and it's absolute rubbish. So you're going to enjoy your life a lot more without those, I promise you.
Yes, and I want to recommend a person that I am friends with on Facebook. He's on the outsides of London going towards the east. His name is Mark Golding. And he's a water clearer. Yes. Highly recommend him. I think if
I'll look him
you
up.
Know, there's
Thank
people
you.
Over there that are connected spiritually. And he's a water healer. And on many levels, he's such a healer. I think you being in touch with him over there would be a blessing. I'm blessed by him every day looking at his paintings. He paints geometric.
Thank you for caring enough to share that. I appreciate that.
And Regina, I want to thank you for something.
Regina
is a caller on my Sunday night show, which is called The Healing Circle. And she has offered a topic for this Sunday's show, and I invite everybody to come. It's a talk show, but everybody gets to participate that wants to. It's a spiritual show. It's about human experience, strength, hope. And this week's topic is connected to the virus, and it is how we can express our love when we are socially distancing. So I hope some of the callers today and listeners will tune in. We'll get to as many of you as possible. I do it with Kat Edwards, who's a spiritual life coach from Australia. She's also a clairvoyant medium, but she does not do readings on the show. She's a very empowering person, and I invite you all to join us. It's 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and it's the same call-in number. So write it down and make a note of it, and please join us. And thank you for offering the topic, Regina. That's all the time we have for now, and I'm going to go to another caller, all right?
Okay.
Okie doke.
Thank you.
All right, let's go to area code 650. Would you please tell me your first name?
Hi, David. This is Miranda, and hello, Carol.
Miranda, hi there, honey. How are you?
I'm doing okay, just taking it a day at a time. hasn't been easy. I've been trying to sell my home, and last year didn't sell, and I thought this spring I'd put it on the market and, you know, get an offer. But now with this pandemic, people are not going to go out of their houses. So it's a little unsettling. You know, just thought I'd call in to see if I could get any guidance. Hello, Caroline. I've never talked to you before, and eager to see if you can share any wisdom.
Oh, okay. David, did you not say that you were... Is this the caller?
Well, we haven't gotten to that. We haven't gotten to that yet, Caroline. I'll announce the caller.
Okay, because I was going to just answer questions for now and do one reading at the end.
Yep, that sounds good.
All I will say in answer to that is, I'm the same. I was looking for some land, and everybody's now withdrawn into their homes, and so I'm going to have to miss this season, which is very frustrating, setting up my new project. But anyway, yeah, it's happening to the best of us. Gosh.
Do you have a question, Miranda?
Yeah, just wondering if you get any guidance from the angels regarding any of what's going on now. Like, have they said anything to you?
Okay, David, I'll have to take this. So, what is being shown to me is a big black cross. So I'm going to interpret that as saying, I think this has to be an opportunity to go within. So instead of worrying about what's happening on the outside, to really spend this time, I literally feel like saying we've all been sent to our rooms to look at our behavior. I've seen a few memes like that on Facebook. So I think for you, it's just the time isn't right now. And the whole planet's been put on this pause, if you like. I think very little is going to take place. We're just coming into spring. I'm not feeling till sort of literally end of summer, September time, until it's going to be post-pandemic. So the fact that they're showing the big black cross, I think, is just saying try and find something do internally that can be taking you towards what's supposed to be happening and inner guidance. Because I think, you know, it's wonderful having this gift. I'm so lucky, but I think everybody can do it. So I invite you to go within and yourself why what you think you want is not happening and see what answers you come up with. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. It does. I'm sure there's a reason for everything.
It's really tough at the moment because I don't think anybody knows what's happening. But my sense is towards the end of August, September time, because I'm seeing the fall berries and, you know, leaves falling. So for me, that's August, September time. I think things will start reverting back to, and I'm not going to use the word normal because I think things will have, dramatically changed. Then possibly your priorities will have changed, and maybe this is the house you're supposed to stay in. Who knows? I'm truly not getting anything more than go within and see what's going on behind this big move, which seems very dramatic and you want to move and all that. But maybe now's the time to, look at what's really important in your life.
Right. Yeah, it's just
helpful.
Confusion for everyone right now. Thank you.
Yeah.
It's just a stressful
time
for everyone.
Well, Miranda, thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, David.
Yes,
you're
welcome. God bless. God bless
God
us
bless.
All.
Goodbye. Yes.
Okay, drum roll. We're getting to the lucky recipient of the angel card reading. And if there's time at the end, we'll take one more question. Okay, it happens to be somebody we've talked to. It is Regina, and Regina, you're live.
Oh, my goodness. Hi. Thank you so much. I'm here.
Hi, Regina. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm... I'm very well, thank you. I'm surprised, and I'm so happy. I don't win too much, so
good.
It's beautiful. And I love angels.
Any particular question?
Well, I think it's always on my mind because I have a broken relationship with my son in California. I'm in New York State.
Nope.
And I haven't, he hasn't spoken, we haven't spoken to each other in well over 20 years. And I'm wondering,
yeah,
is there any way that this is going to heal ever? Or should I just give up?
Okay. Well, I don't think it's ever worth giving up, is the honest answer. There's a lot of pride involved, I'm being told, and I really feel that there's alcohol involved as well.
Because this is a public radio station,
I'm going to try and keep it to, you know, palatable news. But I really... So I'm looking at a scenario where there's black and white. So you're very different to him and he's very different to you. But that doesn't mean to say he chose you as a mother and you chose him as a son. I'm absolutely convinced of that.
Yep.
And I'm just feeling like their new approach needs to be taken. So it's not that, you know, sending flowers and, you know, it's not like that at all. I'm just feeling with you, I want to really invite you to look at, okay, what did I do wrong? What did he do wrong? Is it worth losing this relationship over? There's a lot of self-inquiry, I think, that needs to take place. So, again, maybe this is just for everybody. But I feel like this time of really looking at the truth. Now, remember when I was saying I didn't know I was an alcoholic at all? If you'd have told me I was an alcoholic, I'd have been like, what? Truly, for 40 years, and I drank myself into a stupor most nights. But I didn't identify with this. So I feel like there's some truth-telling to be told to yourself. And one thing that I'm seeing is you've got, like, a really good girlfriend, someone who will listen and not judge and hold you as you unfold. Do you think? Can you think of someone?
Oh, yes. Yes, I do.
Okay,
Jane.
Because I see you sitting, and she's not talking back to you. She's not telling you what to think. I feel like she's just really holding the space to allow you to explore the subject. Because what I'm seeing is a real aha moment. Like I'm seeing a big light bulb above your head, which to me is an aha moment. And
yes.
I think once you've got to that aha moment, things may well seem a little different. I'm going to ask the angels to be with you, though. I'm going to ask Gabriel, who's the angel of communication, to help really help you to see the truth about the matter, not what you think, well, not what he said, what you said, all of that, but just what's really going on. And the other one that wants to come in is Metatron. And I love Metatron because he's all about magic and sacred geometry. And if you ask those two angels to help you to be, of course, you may not want to be honest with yourself. You may want to stay as you are. But if you really want to get to the bottom of this, I think some fantastic self-inquiry, ask Gabriel and Metatron to help you with that. And I genuinely think there's no guarantee ever in life, but I genuinely think some steps can be made towards each other. Should you choose to take that path. That's how I'm feeling.
Okay.
How does that sound?
It sounds good.
Good.
It sounds,
yeah?
A path, yes.
Perfect.
And I've got to get to know Metatron better. I don't know him at all, so I'll look into him.
We're going to have so much fun. He's wonderful. I love working with him.
Good. I will look forward to it. Mostly I've been with Michael, so I'll get to know Gabriel and Metatron better.
Yeah, and Michael can help too, but best of luck with it, and I genuinely think we are moving into change. So, all right, it's been 20 years and that's been painful or whatever, But yeah, there's definitely hope and opportunity and change in the air. So I wish you all the best with it.
Thank you so much. God bless you.
I'm glad you were able to be the lucky one to get the reading, Regina. You're one of my favorite people, and so that's very special that you got it. We're going to take one question, no more angel readings.
You're
going to
remind them of Friday night, right?
Oh, Friday night. Yes, Friday night is another episode of Different Strokes for Different Folks, and we are going to have a brilliant clairvoyant medium on called Sherry Klein, and that's at 7:30 Eastern U.S. time. Please tune into that. She gave me a complimentary reading that was 90% spot on, and you, of course, will get brief readings, but you will really enjoy her. She's superlative. Thank you, Regina, for reminding me. Okay, let's go to area code 856. This is not going to be an angel reading. This is going to be a question for Caroline based on what we were talking about. And what is your first name, please?
Hi, this is Laura in New Jersey.
Laura, hi there.
Hi, Laura.
Hi.
Do you have a question, Laura, about what we talked about?
No, never mind. Just go to the next person then.
Okay. All right, Laura. Thank you for calling. Okay. Area code 267, I'm coming to you. And you are live. What is your first name, please?
Hi, my first name is Donna. And I wanted to ask, do you see anything around me in my love life?
Honey, this is question time about what we were dialoguing about. Do you have any questions about that? You know what I'm saying?
No, I don't. That's okay. Go ahead to the next person. Sorry.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you anyway. Okay. I have one caller remaining. Let's see if they have a question or comment about the discussion on birthing the new you or overcoming the resistance from within. Area code 303, you're live. What is your first name, please?
No, I'm just listening.
Okay, thank you. Well, Caroline, do you have any closing comments?
So just thank you very much for having me on. I think this is a really interesting time to be alive. I'm sure that we are all supposed to be here, right now. We are creating the future, and I can't wait for it to land and be birthed. And I just want to say to everybody, I think the readings that I gave, the two of them, were really directed at almost everybody on the planet. Spend some time going within and finding out who you are, why you're here, what your gifts are that you can share with the world. And, yeah, just generally, like, finding out who you are so that the world can be populated by people who are really switched on and conscious. And I will leave it there. But thank you so much for listening. And it's been really fun talking to you, David.
Oh, it's been a pleasure, as always. And Deanna sent me a message on Facebook asking for a blessing for Prince Charles. Apparently, if I got it right, apparently he's been exposed. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So let's just offer up a prayer for him and for anybody that's been exposed to the virus. Let us send healing energy to them and trust that all is well and unfolding exactly as it's meant to be. Okay. Well, Caroline, thank you so much for bringing such wisdom and words of hope and strength to us all, empowerment and healing. Are you still with us, Caroline? Okay, apparently not. So with that said, God bless everybody. Let's come to a close and pause and reflect upon the idea that we are all united through the diverse tapestry of our individual gifts. There is no real thing as separation except in our own minds. We are each unique expressions of the ultimate source of our beings. We are spiritual beings having a human experience who can and will have a spiritual experience when we let it be. Good night and God bless.